Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't want to look back at my life when, from 30 years from now, I'll be an old man and I just do my daily job every day for years. And I just want to be old and say I did what I love to do.
Well, after experiencing what he calls a sign while traveling Australia, Lukas Piatek is definitely making the most of his photography career while helping others to do the same. I'm Matt Bowen. This is Phototypes.
It's Matt freaking Bowen.
Oh my god!
I'll let Lukas tell you the story that convinced him to become a photographer, but suffice to say he's made the most of it by creating an outlet for artists that's now followed by over 30,000 people on Instagram. I think you'll agree he's a great guy when you hear this interview, and I hope that he inspires you too. Lukas, welcome to Phototypes. Wie geht's?
Oh, very good. Thanks for having me. And I'm pretty to be here.
That's about as far as my German extends, apart from asking you if you could check my tyres, and really? I could tell you that something is opposite the youth club.
Yeah, it's a really hard language, so don't bother trying it.
We'll do this in English for the ease of everyone listening around the world. Thank you for coming on Phototypes. First of all, have a look around you, as I ask everybody, and just describe where you are right now.
Well, I'm sitting at my desk right now. I'm having the iMac here next to me and many cameras, like you see up there. You can't see, of course, you just hear me. But like there are many vintage cameras above my head from my grandfather and stuff. And I'm basically at home, so it's my living room.
Tell everybody where home is.
Home is in Germany. It's a small town called Bottrop. It's an industrial area, and the next big cities are Dortmund and Düsseldorf, which some of you might know. So, but I don't think that my hometown is actually quite known in the world.
How would you describe yourself as a photographer?
That's a pretty hard question, I think. I think I'm really passionate because I always had a dream of being a photographer when I was younger. And like when I was 13 years old, my biggest dream was to earn money with it. But I would never imagine that it would be possible. So I got my first camera with 15. And I just took pictures of little insects and water drops at the beginning. And it somehow turned into photographing people. And now I'm doing weddings. So I think I'm a down-to-earth guy that was lucky enough to be where I am now.
Okay, and is it just weddings that you photograph now?
Weddings mostly. I'm doing a lot of couples and engagements, and also animals, dogs, for example, and sometimes I do babies.
Let's rewind back a little bit. It says on your website that you established your business in 2002. Before then, what did you do? 2012, sorry.
I was working for 3 years as a designer, like a media designer. That's a German name. I'm not sure what the English name is. But it was like Photoshop work and InDesign stuff. And that I was doing it for 3 years. And after that, I spent a year in Australia, New Zealand, traveling around. I bought a car and just traveled around the whole country. And that was the time when I bought my first bigger camera, which was the 5D Mark II, which came out right then and had video in it. So it was pretty cool back then. And I bought it, took it on a trip, and took some really cool shots with it, and that was the time when I really started to feel and think that I can do this for a living. And like I said, I always dreamed about doing it, but never really thought I could do it. And when I arrived back home after that year, I started doing study at university. I studied engineering, which I'm still doing. I'm nearly finished. So that's my backup plan if photography doesn't work out at the end. I started at the same time with the study. I started the photography for weddings and stuff. I was asked by a friend of mine to do her wedding, and I was like, yeah, of course, no problem. It's totally easy. I've got a 5D Mark II and I've got a shitty zoom lens, which is pretty crappy in low light, and I can do it, of course. So I got there, I shot the wedding, and they were happy with the images. Looking back now, I think those images were awful, and I would never do it the same way again, of course. Yeah, but that was the time when it really started, and other people saw it, and they asked me to do their wedding, and that's when I started a website and a Facebook page. And yeah, so many more people from a friends list saw my images, and somehow it turned out that into an established kind of business for me.
We're going to expand a little bit about your business and approach later, but when you were doing your media design, or I think we would probably call it graphic design here,
right,
were you still hoping to be a photographer then, or were you thinking, this is what I'm going to do now?
Well, photography was a part of my job, actually. We had a large studio in a basement, and I had to use the camera in there sometimes as well. So I always had it in my mind, but like I said, I never thought that I could actually only live from photography. So that's why I did the job. But it turned out after 3 years that I was so bored, and it was just the same thing every day. And yeah, that's why I had to make a little break and fly to Australia to get my head a little bit clearer and just think about my future and what I want to do in life. Because I always thought that I don't want to look back at my life when from 30 years from now I'll be an old man, and I just do my daily job every day for years, and I just want to be old and say I did what I love to do, and yeah, that's why I do it.
So when you decided to go to Australia, what sort of position was your head in? Where were you at mentally?
I think I was kind of torn, and I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. So I needed that trip for me to come clean with myself and to really focus on my future. And I was pretty happy that when I came back and I asked my parents, or my mother and my grandparents what they think about it. They were very positive to me. They didn't say it's a stupid idea, and they just say I should chase my dreams and do it.
Was there anything in particular whilst you're in Australia that made you think, yes, I can do this? Was there a particular turning point?
There was a turning point, but it's not what you expect it to be. Like I said, I was traveling with the car, and I had everything in my car. And one day I was at the beach, and when I came back to my car, somebody broke in there. So the windshield was broken. And the first thought I had was, oh my God, my camera. It's surely gone. My memories are gone. All the images are gone. So I ran to the car, opened the door. My mobile phone was gone. My purse was gone. Some other small things were gone. But they left my camera in there. I don't know why, but it was still lying on my bed in the back of the car. And in the end, I think it was like a kind of symbol for me that they didn't took away the camera, so it belongs to me. Yeah. And I'm going to try it now.
Excellent. That is like almost fate that this thing is calling out to you then.
Yeah. Like I said, I was very scared that the camera is gone, because if the camera was gone, I think that would be my the baddest thing that could happen to me. I didn't care about the purse, the money, my mobile phone, but you can't take away the memories that I had in the past months before that.
So after that incident, did you then specifically focus and think, right, this is a sign now, this is exactly what I want to do, this is telling me to do it?
Yeah, it turned out in the next weeks after that, I thought it has to be a sign in some way. And when I came back, like I said, I really knew that I have to do this from then on.
So you say you dreamt of being a photographer from an early age. What was it that inspired your love of photography?
I actually have no idea. It was in my head. My great-grandfather was a photographer also, so maybe it's in our genes, I don't know. And my grandfather always gave us old cameras, the ones that are in my apartment right now. So old vintage stuff cameras, and my grandparents had very vintage images on the wall from their ancestors, and it somehow turned out had that passion in me. That's why I do it now.
When you got back from Australia, then you spoke to your mother and your grandparents, and they were very supportive. What were the steps that you took then to establish yourself?
Yeah, the first thing was to build up the Facebook page was important for me, because I knew that a lot of people used that as a marketing side of things. And I had a fan page back then, but it was just sharing images and stuff. And I also had a DeviantArt page. I had an account there, and that's where I was shooting my first stuff, like the insects. And I did a lot of macro things. And back then on DeviantArt, I was just a normal little young photographer, and nobody knew me. And there was one day I uploaded an image of my eye, and it was like a macro image of my eye shot by myself with my right hand. And in my eye, there was a reflection of my left hand holding a heart. So yeah, kind of cheesy, but people liked it. And the next day I woke up, I had 3,000 messages, and hundreds of comments, and people were crazy about the image. And I sold some prints over there. Yeah, but that was before Australia still. So after that, I started building the Facebook page and the website, and did some marketing in the local area here. I had an interview with a newspaper, and that's how it started rolling.
Okay, so you didn't come back immediately and think that you wanted to shoot weddings?
No, weddings started a little bit after that. I first done some portraits and dogs, like I said, animals. And weddings started when my friend asked me to do the wedding. So then that's what I saw I can do weddings, and people would like it. And that's where I thought that wedding photography would actually be something that's worth doing, because you can earn money with it.
Did you develop a passion for wedding photography? Did you enjoy doing that first wedding that you did?
Yeah, I loved it, actually. And like I said, I didn't plan anything before that. I just went there, and I have not looked at any wedding before and any other wedding images. So I just could do my own kind of thing. And some images turned out great, but most of them were crappy. Because, I didn't care about the lens that I had with me, which was an f/4 zoom lens. And so many images were very grainy, because I had to pull up the exposure a little bit. And at nighttime, I tried to use a flash, which I rented from a company, but I had no idea how to use it. So I just put it on manual mode and flashed it. And the images were horrible. So after that wedding, I actually sat down and took a look at some other photographers, and I saw some YouTube videos about what to do, what to learn from it, what lenses to buy and stuff. And that's when I really started off getting into wedding photography and actually caring about what I do. And back then, I think the first guy that I loved seeing was Jose Villa, which I think everyone can relate to. So I loved that really airy kind of look from him. And 2 years later, I bought a Contax, the same one that he had. And I had the same lens that he had. And I sent it to Richard Photolab, the images. And I hoped that they turn out like his images. But of course, they didn't. So I was kind of disappointed back then. And then I sold the Contax again. And I really tried to focus on digital and getting my own kind of thing into it, and really getting away from the airy pastel-like feel. So I tried to do it a little moodier and darker, much more contrast in the images, and that's what I do now. So
yeah, it's surprising that Jose Villa was one of your early influences, because looking at your work now, it couldn't be any further from his style.
Yeah, I try to copy most of the images I saw on the internet, which were famous, of photographers, and I think that didn't turn out for me. I tried to copy the style from them because many people loved it, but yeah, I didn't like it and I didn't love it at the end. So there was no reason for me to keep shooting like this.
So how did you make that transition from those pastel images to thinking, yeah, I don't like these? Was it just a case of playing around with settings and then you got something that you liked and kept coming back to that?
It just happened in the VSCO group on Facebook. That's when I first got to know the VSCO filters, and I use them a lot now. So and I saw many images in there like that really inspired me to really change my pace slowly, of course, because you can't do one wedding like this and the next wedding like that. So it was a slow transition, of course, but I'm happy I did that, and yeah, that was the turning point.
And that transition, once you knew that you wanted to change, but you had to do it slowly, were you quite impatient and thinking, oh, I really want to get some stuff out that I actually enjoy?
Yeah, not really. I always try to mix it up in the first weddings. So there was not like the big change, of course, because the couples would be shocked if they booked me because they liked the images before and I just deliver something completely different. That's not good. So I mixed the styles at the beginning. And yeah, after that, I just only uploaded the images that I like. Got away with those airy looks, and if you look at my site now, you won't find those images. So I hope that I only find couples now that like the images that they see now, and they won't know what I did before. So.
You mentioned the VSCO filters. People will be now screaming at their phone or however they're listening to this, thinking. What filters does he use? Are you prepared to just tell us about that, or is it something you want to keep secret?
It's actually not so easy to say. I love the Tri-X look for the black and whites, which I think it's amazing. But with the color ones, it's pretty hard for me to tell, actually. I always try around, and of course, I tweak a lot. So I just don't click a button, and that's it. I do have some custom presets right now, which I can use for every wedding. So I have like a little consistency in the look of the weddings that I have. But it's really hard for me to tell that there's one really good preset that you can use and that works for everything. So I also use a Red Leaf right now, and which are also very amazing. And yeah, so there's not a real answer to that.
But you're still shooting all digital now? Nothing film?
Nothing film anymore, no. I sold the contacts, like I said, and that's it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people listening to this will relate to your story and thinking that they want to be a wedding photographer. They see something that they like, they buy all the equipment exactly the same as yeah. as their heroes, if that's the right word, and and then they find it's not quite right for them, and you've got to find your own voice. Now your website has a very distinctive brand and a logo to it. Tell us the story behind that.
The logo is actually quite new, if that's what you refer to, with the fox in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like a month old. The logo I had before was just like a basic typography thing. So I contacted a young artist from Romania, a logo artist, and we came up with the idea of the fox. And yeah, so a running fox that runs from left to right, so to the future. And I liked it, so we just took it, and it has like a more grittier look, and yeah, that's what I like right now.
Yeah, a more earthy feel I got from it.
Right.
Okay, who or what inspires you now?
The thing that most inspires me right now is my blog, my Looks Like Film blog, which I'm running, and I'm uploading images every day there, which are curated from the VSCO group and from our own Looks Like Film group. And I think those images are really outstanding. We have a huge following of people right now. And we just hit 30,000 on Instagram yesterday. Yeah, I'm doing those daily updates on the blog. So people send me their images, and I'm doing like 14 images every day now. Looking at those images alone really made my images look better, my images as well, because when you see those images and you try to keep them in your head and try to use them in any future shooting or wedding, you will most likely take a better picture. I noticed that when I started doing the blog, which was in the last December, which was like a slow time, so no shootings, nothing at all. And the first shooting I got was in January then. So I had like a 2 month break, doing nothing. And yeah, and I really could tell that my photography increased a little bit just by getting inspired every day by other amazing artists. And yeah, that's what I like about it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, so tell us a little bit more about Looks Like Film and what it is and why you started it up in the first place.
Well, I started it in the Visco group. Like I said before, I'm a member there. I'm an admin now, so it has 27,000 people in there. So a quite huge amount of people. And I think in my mind that's the best photography group on Facebook out there. I'm a part of many groups there, but this one is the most positive. I think if you upload your images, people will like them. They won't be mean to you or try to say any bad things about it. Even if you're a beginner, they will try to help you and try to make you better in the first place. So, yeah, and I could really tell that those images uploaded there by the people are really, really good. So you occasionally find an image that's not quite okay or shitty, I have to say. But I think 99% of the images are just amazing. So, and one day I was browsing through the group and I saw an image from Jordan Foss, the photographer, the week before. And I couldn't find it in the next week. And I didn't remember his name back then. And I was just crawling through the group like crazy for minutes. And nothing happened because there are so many images uploaded there. You just couldn't find it. That's what I thought. What if we do a website with the best images from this group? And we just publish them on a website. So that's when it started. I built a website on Squarespace the other day. Put it up there. I asked the people about it and everybody was, oh my god, yeah, great idea. Let's do it. So some more people joined me in doing this. And that's when it started. At the beginning was like just daily updates. So I uploaded images there, like the best images from the day, and they were on the website. And we had like a crazy amount of views in the first month. It was 30,000 people viewing there the image as in that month. And it kind of transferred into a blog type of thing. So we are still doing the daily updates, but we also have like interviews on there. And we do some before and after, so people can see the difference before they adjusted the presets on the images, which is kind of cool. And we have a lot of engagement sessions on there. We have weddings blogged. And it kind of took over my life as well. We are close to launching a print store right now, so people will be able to actually sell and buy prints on the site. And we are currently developing our own presets, which is not really announced yet, so people know about it, but it's going to be like a new kind of era of presets. We are doing this with Red Leaf, and we will be joined by other famous photographers doing it, so we'll have like new packs coming out hopefully this year, at the end of this year, and we will have four well-known artists developing their own presets, so people can use these presets to kind of replicate their style and their feel of the images.
Sounds awesome. And like you said before, a real supportive atmosphere in there.
Yeah, it's actually pretty crazy. So it's like our own community right now. People know each other, and they're from everywhere, like America, Australia, South Africa. We recently just did a small poll about doing like a global meetup one day. So people just can meet in a city in their area and just go out, have a coffee, talk about photography, and make some images. I didn't think many would respond to that, but I think we had like 400 people commenting it and telling where they live. So we have that in mind for the future, but it needs a little planning to do that, of course.
Clearly, when you decided to do that, you didn't think it would be so crazy.
No, actually, no. I think when I started doing the website, I think I do it just for a couple of weeks and then that's it, because I was pretty sure people would get bored with it, but turned out it was not the case. And we're having like 80,000 people viewing every month right now. Wow. We're having big companies supporting us. We have Alien Skin right now. We just signed a small deal with Owner Bags. We have Hold Frost from the Moneymaker Belt as a partner. We have Flow Themes or Flow Sites. Pixlu from Smart Albums. Our own print company, Fine Print Studio, which will be released soon, like I said. Yeah, and we are in talks with Junebug Weddings right now for a partnership. So hopefully people will be able to submit their images on our site, which will also be featured on their site, because they contacted us because Looks Like Film is their primary source of finding new artists. And we hopefully can transform that in kind of benefit for both of us, so, and for the artists, of course.
Yeah, and you mentioned a little bit that it's kind of taken over your life. Where are you squeezing in the photography now?
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to split the day between Looks Like Film and wedding photography. So when I wake up, I just rush to my iMac and I do the daily update. So it has to be done every day except Sunday. And after that, I just do my wedding thing. So I edit my weddings from the past weeks and stuff. And after I'm finished with a wedding or a wedding session, I go back to Looks Like Film. And I try to upload some more stuff, like other blog posts with an engagement session, for example. Or we also have Artists of the Month. So we just pick an artist which has been amazing in the past months and feature him on the blog. And that's what I try to kind of separate both things. But I have to do them every day, of course.
Yeah. Is it just yourself that runs that at the moment?
No, it's a bunch of people, actually. We have about 20 people right now.
Okay.
Doing blog stuff, running Tumblr, running Instagram, running Facebook, and running Twitter. So, everyone join me.
Awesome. So, tell everyone what the web address is for that, if they don't know.
It's lookslikefilm.com. So, that's it.
Easy. Oh, well, that's brilliant. Congratulations on that. That's fantastic. What's been your biggest influence in your career?
My biggest influence in my career, that's kind of hard to say, actually. I'm pretty sure that one of the biggest influences was the turn from that first look I had to the look right now, and to my final look, which I think will stay like this, hopefully forever. And also meeting new artists, so meeting them on Facebook or personally. I've been to Snap this year. You talked to Laura earlier this week. It was amazing to meet new people and same-minded people, because I have a lot of friends, but none of those has any kind of interest in photography. So it's kind of hard to talk with them about it. It's pretty easier if you have people with you or your friends there. You can actually talk about cameras and images and lenses. Yeah. So being at Snap was definitely something. Was one of the biggest influences, because I got to talk to so many awesome people and listen to so many awesome speakers, of course, which also changed my viewing a little bit. Andy Gaines was there. You also talked to him. I saw that. And I just loved his mentality and the way he talked, he was so captivating. And yeah, it was just a great time, great experience. I'm flying to Lanzarote at the end of the month to the Wolves workshop, which is also another workshop. And I'm trying to get the same feeling there. So yeah.
Are you a complete photography geek?
Yeah, I turned into one.
So is there any time ever when you take a break from photography? Sundays, maybe?
I try to get some off time, of course. In the evenings, I play soccer, so I'm going soccer 3 times a week. So that's a little thing I do besides that. And of course, my girlfriend has to... I have to find some time for her. She sometimes yells at me that I'm not spending much time with her, but I always try to find a time. It's not easy in a wedding season, of course, but yeah, it will end soon, so we're going to have a great Christmas, and we spent many weeks in Spain this year on vacation, so yeah, it's okay for me. I have a time, have time for it.
Yeah, what's your girlfriend do for a job? Is it Lena, your girlfriend?
Right, yeah, you're good informed. she's still working at a school, so she's working with kids. She's there right now. They have like a little theater kind of thing running because it's a vacation right now, holidays in Germany. So the kids are just going there every day, and they're building a kind of theater, and they will have a play at the end of the week.
Does she try and rope you in to take photographs of that?
I've been there actually. I've been at the school of her 2 years ago. I've done a little what's called photography. Photography class, if you can say that. Yeah. So I brought my camera there, and I've talked with the kids about the photos, and we had like 2 photography classes every week, and different kids join me every week, and I just talked about the settings of cameras, what you can do with it. Of course, they are too small to understand it, but I had to tell them, of course. And after that, we always had a little shooting, so they just played around, and we took some images. And the next week, I just printed the images and gave them to them. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, but they loved that.
Yeah, they did.
All right, what excites you about life in general? What makes you get out of bed in the morning?
The work in the first place, of course. And I think the future. I'm really like looking into the future kind of guy, like with the logo that said. I'm pretty positive, I think. I'm pretty sure I can improve my photography even furthermore. And I'm pretty sure that my blog will be more successful in the next years. So that's what keeps me running now every day. I try to make it just right. I want to be better every day. I try to shoot as much as I can, of course, which is kind of hard because, the German weather is not always pretty good for that. You might know that in England.
Yeah, sure.
I can't go out every day because it's raining very often. But if I have free time, I try to do it.
So your personal projects, what sort of things do you like to shoot?
Personally, I very often shoot my girlfriend, so I'm not really the portrait type of guy, so I'm not doing like portrait sessions at all, but I love to photograph her, so and I love to photograph my dog, of course, so I just love to do some like kind of lifestyle things, photographing my life and the life of my parents and the parents of my girlfriend. So I just take my camera and just do some spontaneous shots, like not staged at all, so they don't have to look in the camera and put on a smiley face and give me a wink. They just do the thing, and I try to document it. Yeah.
Do they ever get fed up with you taking photographs of them?
No, not at all. No. They love it. They are very, very supportive. Also, her parents are crazy for my photography kind of thing. Her father is really a big fan of mine. He's supporting me every time I go there. So tell me, you take so many great pictures. It's amazing. I love what you do. Do what you want to do, and keep doing it.
Excellent. That's good. Well, I think it's about time you got married to your girlfriend.
Yeah, she actually just entered the room, so I can't. I just heard her coming through the door. Yeah, I have that in my mind, of course, and it will happen for sure. But I'm not sure who's going to take the images.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of people queuing up for that one. All right, what scares you then?
the bigger thing that scares me is not knowing what might happen to me and my family. So I'm pretty scared that my grandfather will die someday, because I was raised by him, and my father left my mother when I was born, so I didn't grow up with a father at all. My mother went to work, and I spent every day with my grandparents. My grandmother already passed away, which was really hard for me. I'm afraid of the day when he's gone. So he was like the main male influence on my life. And yeah, if he's gone, that would be a pretty big hole in my heart. I'm pretty sure about it.
What sort of a person is he? What did he do for a job?
He was a famous football coach in Poland, actually. And he also trained some national players from Poland. I'm not sure if you're familiar with football at all and yeah. Football players. What's your favorite team?
My team is Stoke City.
Stoke City, okay. Now, you might know Dudek, which played in Liverpool. And,
yeah.
They won the Champions League. He's a good friend of ours, and my grandfather trained him back then, and they always meet each other when they can. And he also knows some German guys, Miroslav Klose, if you know him. And my grandfather was a friend of his mother. And he also trained the father of Lukas Podolski. So, yeah, he was totally crazy about football. That's why I also started doing football. Yeah. And I still love it. Yeah, that's what he did for life.
So your grandfather was very heavily into soccer, but you say he also encouraged you photography-wise and had some cameras and gave you cameras?
Yeah, he was the guy or the person that actually bought me my first camera, which was a little Sony Cybershot back then. Yeah, it was okay for me back then, and it had a crazy good macro mode, and that was my first real camera in my hands.
And have you photographed a lot of him?
Not really, no. I mostly been out in the nature, and I did some shots of him, but he was not my main person to shoot.
Have you got a lot of photographs of him since then?
I did, yeah, of course. I also did a lot of my grandmother, and I think you just need those images as a memory. And I think it's even a better memory if you took those images yourself.
What's your favorite swear word? Now, I interviewed another German photographer who hasn't gone out on the podcast yet, but she came up with some good ones. So I'm expecting yours to be equally good.
I'm not that swearing kind of person, actually. But if I would say a word, it would be the German word for monkey, which is called Affe, which I use quite often. And I recently started using Muppet Face. So yeah, those are the main ones actually right now.
Okay, I think I might get away with not putting the explicit on this podcast as well, although you had said shitty quite a lot.
I did, yeah.
It sounds like you love photography. Clearly you love photography and you love what you do, but if you could be anything else for a day, what would you be?
I thought about it for a long time, and I don't want to pick any person or I think I would be a bird or an eagle. Being just totally free and flying. I think if I could fly right now, it would be awesome. So it would be amazing to actually feel that moment when you're in the air and just being all for yourself, flying around wherever you want to go, and no boundaries. So that would be cool.
Okay, who living or dead would you love to photograph?
I actually don't have an answer for that question. There's not a real person I would want to shoot. I think... I just want to shoot people that are fully into my type of photography. And whenever I meet a couple that know what I want, and I know what they want, and they love my images, I love shooting them. So I sometimes have couples that are really hard on me. I had one time there was a couple where the girl booked a session, and we met in the morning, and the first thing that the guy said to me, it said that he doesn't want to do the shoot. He would much rather be at home and drinking a beer. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, so when you meet those kind of persons, you know that you won't take good photos, because you just feel that this one person is not into it. So that's why I just love shooting people that are fully committed to what I do.
Yeah, that immediately put a barrier between you and them.
Right, and it's hard to work with those people because there's a little antipathy going on from the first moment, and you just know that he's not gonna be fully invested, and he also stopped the shooting like half hour into it because he didn't like it. So he said, "That's it, we go now."
Lots of advice and lots of things we've talked about that can inspire other people listening to this. But what would your advice be to another photographer who's maybe starting out?
Just chase your dreams. I know everyone keeps saying it, but I did it. Even if you have people around you saying you won't make it or stop doing it, just do whatever you love. If you know in your heart that this is the only thing that you want to do and you love doing it, then just do it. You only have one life. If you're dead, you're gone. So there's no reason spending a life doing anything that you don't like. Just do what you love. So keep shooting, take a camera, learn, get inspired, and make some crazy good images.
And when you came back from Australia and you had decided that this is what you wanted to do, how scary was it for you to do that? Or was it not scary at all? Were you just excited to do it?
It was actually kind of scary because I didn't know in the first year how many people would book me. So I think the first year is always the hardest because you don't know how the complete year will be running, how people will, if they like your image or maybe they don't like your images. But yeah, so that was the hardest year. But after that 1 year, I think you develop some kind of routine. So you know what will happen. You know when couples will write you, when you know when they will book you. So so right now I'm pretty happy. I had 35 weddings this year. That's the next one tomorrow, and I think that's enough for me right now. I don't want to do more.
All right, who else should I be interviewing on this podcast? Who would you like to hear from?
I think you should interview the person that I love to come up and face, which is Jacob Loveman. It's a friend of mine. He's also on my blog. And he's a crazy good photographer. He has a unique kind of style. And if you take a look at his images, you will immediately see that he's amazing and unique. So and he's a pretty funny guy. So I think you will be laughing your ass off.
Excellent. Right, I'll give him a shout. Right then, before you go, tell us where people can find you. Remind us of Looks Like Film and plug everything that you've got.
I don't want to advertise too much, but if people just want to be inspired, they can head over to lookslikefilm.com. One word, that's it. And they can find me on my website, which is lukaspiatek.com. My last name is kind of hard, but I think you will write it in the podcast.
So, I certainly will.
That's it.
Well, I will definitely be on lookslikefilm.com. You will see me there soon, asking for advice, I'm sure, as well.
Just join our groups and upload your images.
I will do, definitely. Lucas, it's been brilliant speaking to you. Good luck with everything. Yeah. Let us know how things go on. Let us know when the presets are out and everything. Then we'll let people know about that. Otherwise, sure. Good luck with your wedding tomorrow. And yeah, get proposing to Lena.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Lucas. Now, over the weekend, we heard that Jacob Loveman, who Lucas mentioned in his interview, was attacked and robbed. Now, he's expected to make a full recovery, thankfully, and we at Phototypes are sending out our love to you, Jacob. If you're enjoying Phototypes in the meantime, please do say hello on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, all at PhototypesPod. If this is the first episode you've listened to, drop us a line and let us know. You can listen to Phototypes on Acast, iTunes, or SoundCloud. We'll see you next time.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.